Well, right now, my guests are getting assembled. They're sitting down in the chairs here, and I will do my best to introduce them while they get ready. Have a seat, Emily and Brenda, and let me rewind a little bit. My guests are here to talk about Next Stop Broadway, which will run tomorrow through Saturday at Western Michigan University with shows at 7:30 p.m., four shows in a row. And this is one of Western's theater's collaborations with a major Broadway artist who comes to our community and helps prepare some of our young stars to get ready for the big time, the bright lights in the big city. This year, the special guest artist is Brenda Braxton. And if you would test that microphone for me.
Hello. Hello.
Wonderful. So nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Thanks for braving our icy sidewalks.
Absolutely.
To get here today. I'm looking forward to this conversation so much. I would like to say hello to Emily Duguay as well.
Hi, Kara.
Hi. So you must be in a whirlwind of preparing for Next Stop Broadway. What space is this set for on Western's campus?
It's in the Williams Theater. So it's we sort of set up a cabaret setting in there. And if you've never been to that theater, it's a beautiful theater with a real intimate feel. It's a great space for live music.
Okay. And again, the performances are tomorrow through Saturday at 7:30 p.m. About how many students are involved, not just in the cast, but behind the scenes as well, would you say, Emily?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't say exactly. I believe there's something like 14 or 15 seniors that are performing. So they'll perform alongside Brenda and doing their showcase numbers as well. And then, I mean, offstage, you have in management, you know, a dozen students, and then hanging lights, another dozen, you know, to 20 students. And then there's our sound designer is a student. Lighting designer is a student. So it's a lot.
There's a little village over there.
There
at the
is,
Williams
yeah.
Theater.
It takes a village.
Getting ready for these performances. Well, Jay Burkow is the director of music theater at Western. And we talked last August about you, Brenda, coming to town. He's so excited to
he's
have
been
you
great.
Here.
He's really been great.
Were you just sent an email or given a call, a personal call?
I think he literally texted me on Facebook. And I was like, okay, I have no idea who this is, but it sounds legitimate. And of course, I asked for more information, and he sent it. And I was like, okay, this sounds like fun. I had never done anything like this before. So it's my first time. And when I got here, we hit the ground running and just had a great time with the kids.
From what I'm understanding a little bit from the little I know about your background, you are a city girl.
I am from the Bronx, Borough of Progress.
How did you end up attending the performing arts school?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm not going to tell you too much because my show, I kind of explain everything.
Okay, leave so it for the crowd.
Right. But I was in Catholic school, actually, for 8 years. But one of my teachers realized that I loved dancing because I started it when I was 4 years old and kept going. And he told me about the High School of Performing Arts when it was time to graduate from Our Lady of Victory. That's where I went. And I auditioned. I didn't even tell my family that I was auditioning. So here I was, 12 years old. I had to choreograph my own piece and went in and auditioned and got a call back. And the next thing we knew, I was in Performing Arts High School.
Brenda, you had some real ideas about what you wanted at the age of 12.
I knew I wanted to dance. I knew it, yeah.
I was probably still working my way through the Nancy Drew series or something when I was 12.
Those were good, too, but dancing was it, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And so after graduating, then the big bad world of
actually about a year out of high school I got my first Broadway show. So again, I just went and auditioned. It was about 200 dancers and they were looking for one male and one female, and I actually auditioned for a swing dancer, which means that you cover all of the female performers, and I had no idea. I just saw that they needed someone, and I went in. So by the time I got my contract, and they said, oh, yes, you're a swing dancer, so you cover six women. I was like, what do you mean, cover six women? You learn all their choreography, their blocking and everything. But I think that was the best way to be introduced into theater, to have to memorize everything, notate everything, write it down, you know. So I think that was the best way for me to enter professional theater.
I mean, that's, the training is so intense to not only learn six roles, but keep them separated in your head.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then to go on and not get in anyone's way, you know, because they're used to the person who's doing it. So you just have to blend in and do the best you can, hit your marks, and don't worry about acting because nobody cares at that point. They just need, you know, they need you there on your mark, singing your song. So it was great, though. I loved it.
You were, what, 20? 20,
I was 21? 20, yeah.
20 years
old. Had just
old
turned 20.
At the time.
Yeah.
Would you take us, well, okay, you gave us a clue that this is a cabaret show that will tell a story. And will the students be a part of the story?
They're not a part of the story, but they do come in at the end, and we do a number together.
All right.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing I've kind of curious about is the idea where a performer, a theater performer, you know, is bread and butter, is taking roles often wherever and whenever they can, decides, you know what, I'm going to try a cabaret show. Is it because you get a little more control over what it is?
That's part of it. I'm not sure, because not everyone goes the cabaret route.
No.
Because cabaret is completely different than anything you've ever done. You're constantly breaking that fourth wall, which is why I like cabaret, because I love working with the audience and, you know, messing with them and getting them involved in the show. So that's why I like cabaret. A lot of times you can just hone in on your voice and you know, just kind of get that motor going and that feel going. But it's not for everyone. Not everyone is a cabaret singer.
Do you need a team to create a cabaret show, or do you end up, you know, writing it and rehearsing it and lights and costumes?
I think it depends on the individual too, and what you want to say in your cabaret. Some performers, they love doing, you know, show tunes, things like that. Some tell a story. Some just do excerpts from different shows. But again, it takes a village. So you need your depending on what musicians you want to use, if you want to use a director. I've never used a director. Friends will come and they'll, you know, make suggestions, which I don't mind at all. Yeah. Of course, my mother.
Mrs. Braxton,
she will give her opinion. Thank you, Mom. But yeah, it just depends on the individual.
My guest is Brenda Braxton, who is a performer who comes to us from Broadway and many productions. She's originated roles. She's here in town for the next four nights to perform at the Williams Theater. The annual review, Next Stop Broadway, starts at 7:30 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Did I say four nights?
It's three.
Three.
So you get your tickets now?
Yeah. So there's even less chance.
Sold out on Thursday. So actually, Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. are your only remaining opportunities.
Emily, what is the best? Is there a phone number you have memorized?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, yes, you can get tickets by calling 269-387-6222 or online at wmutheater.com.
Well, I will be talking to Brenda here about a nonprofit organization she founded called Leading Ladies Just for Teens. We'll be talking about some of the roles you've performed in. But let's take a break for a song I have here queued up called Don Juan.
Oh, God.
I would love for you to introduce with a short story. We can go into it a little more after, but help us put Don Juan in context.
Oh, God. Okay. So Don Juan is from Smokey Joe's Cafe, which we ran for 4 years on Broadway. And we did a year before that out of town. And it's so funny because our reviews were horrible when we opened on Broadway. So to last for 4 years, that was quite something. And my character kind of, it's a review. It's a kind of what they call the jukebox kind of shows. I think we were the first jukebox show on Broadway. And there's songs from Lieber and Stoller, from their songbook. Songs like Hound Dog and I'm a Woman and Don Juan. And, I guess it kind of, the song will explain itself. But my character is kind of a sassy, kind of pulled up kind of woman. And, I think it'll explain it.
Here we are. We're with Brenda Braxton. She is in town for 3 nights, and there are 2 shows available that aren't sold out, Friday and Saturday, at the Williams Theater at Western Michigan University. Next stop, Broadway, WMUtheater.com.
We moved in the house, we grooved in the way we waltzed across those marble floors. You used to look deluxe in your white tie and tux up in that big white house that is no longer yours. Don Juan, your money's gone, and when your money's gone, Don, your baby's gone. Don Juan, your baby's gone. Still purple lip now, Don, you'll have to carry on. The yacht we sailed on, the yacht we whaled on, I got to tell you, Don, I love that. Aboard that big white yacht that you no longer got. Don Juan, your money's gone, and when your money's gone, Don, your fame is gone. Don Juan, your fame is gone. Still purple lip now, Don, you'll have to carry on. That was the highest I have ever flown. Your kisses were so sweet at 30,000 feet up in that big white jet that you no longer own. Don Juan, your money's gone, and when your money's gone, Don, uh-huh, baby, gone. Don Juan, your baby's gone. Still purple lip now, Don, you'll have to
thought I was gonna say something else, didn't ya?
Well, Brenda Braxton here said she wanted to be a dancer, but I think you can really sing a song, too. That's a heck of a voice you have.
Thank you.
You can really let it out, let it go.
Yeah.
Fill the hall.
Yeah.
What a terrific number from Smokey Joe's Cafe, mm-hmm. which you said ran for 4 years.
Yeah. On Broadway.
Broadway.
And it's so funny, for our anniversary the first year, our producers had a poster made up with all of the horrible quotes that we had, and he gave them to all of us. It was so cool. Because a lot of times, you know, the critics can make or break a show.
Yes, they can.
But we kept going for 4 years.
Well, I'm kind of curious if, mm-hmm. you know, did you take some of the criticism and adjust things in the show? Or did you just push forward knowing it was...
No, we knew we had a good show, and we just kept going. We just kept going. And that's another thing. When I was working years before that with a woman by the name of Vinette Carroll down at the Urban Arts Corps, she had a saying, do not be seduced or reduced by your audience. So, and I take that for critics, too, because if you start thinking about, oh, my God, they said this about me. Oh, my goodness, they said that about me. You're going to go crazy. You know, so don't let them seduce you with the wonderful things that they say about you and think, oh, okay, now I've made it. But also do not be reduced by what they say. Don't think that you don't know what you're doing. You don't know your job. Yeah.
You know, Brenda, every time you talk about what you do, I feel like I'm learning a lesson. I mean, I'm learning something, and I can't imagine what, you know, talking to kids at the school of the theater department is like. Could you tell us what you've seen so far? Did you arrive just this week, I assume?
I saw Kohl's department store. That's as far as I got here. But just being at the school and working with the kids, you know, it's so funny because I haven't worked with kids in a long time. So when I came back here, it kind of gives you another good feeling about theater, to see these young kids now just getting into theater. Because you can get a little jaded with your day-to-day, trying to find a job, trying to keep going, trying to pay your rent, and, you know, all of that. So to see still the happiness that is out there with these young kids who are now going into, you know, going into my field was refreshing. It was really, really refreshing. So I'm looking forward to seeing them, you know, really do their show. And I think I'm going with Jade to speak to a class today. So that should be fun.
Yeah. Part of the, you know, annually this guest, which has been generously funded by a donor each year, is to do this performance and perform, you know, work toward this show this weekend, but also to visit classes, conduct master classes. So really the impact is shared across the Department of Theater and not just with the students who are performing this weekend. So those and even just hearing her story is so valuable to our students, and then the master class to be able to perform for her and get, you know, individual feedback. So that's also a part of this week with Brenda, which is just an amazing opportunity for the kids, students, young people.
I know. You better tell the listeners again when and where the performances are.
Sure. Next Stop Broadway is in the Williams Theater in the Gilmore Theater Complex. So just come to the Gilmore Theater Complex. Performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week at 7:30. We are sold out for Thursday, so Friday and Saturday are really your last two chances. Tickets are at 269-387-6222 or at WMUtheater.com. And you can also buy our tickets at Miller Auditorium if you happen to be there. That works too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to ask now about Leading Ladies Just for Teens. Mm-hmm. When did you decide to put some energy into this idea of bringing young people and people of color?
Into
this experience?
Well, I was doing Smokey Joe's on Broadway, and I've always been into trying to give back some kind of way. And I thought, what can I do? What can I do? And teenage suicide at that time was at an all-time high. And there were so many young girls who were at risk from different organizations throughout the tri-state area. So I decided what I'll do is I'll reach out to different organizations, have them come into the theater. We'll sit before the matinee show. I'll show them how I put my makeup on and what my routine is. And then we'll just talk about what are your dreams and goals and, you know, how to set dreams and you know, go from one, I call it one nanosecond to the next, because that's all we can really do. So we would have the girls come in, and then they would see the show. They'd see Smokey Joe's Cafe. And then they'd get a tour of the theater and the backstage area and meet some of the behind-the-scenes women who worked back there, because we had a female electrician and a female stage manager. So it was also to let them know that even if you're not on stage, if you have some interest in theater, there are other areas of theater that you can still excel at. And it was amazing how many girls we were able to reach. As a matter of fact, from my first seminar in 1996, one of the girls stayed in touch with me and we became really, really close. She was in my wedding and she had a baby afterwards and she is doing so well right now. So if that's the only person I was able to make an impact on, I feel like, okay. And then the reason I called it Leading Ladies Just for Teens is because I had women come in, other friends come in and talk to the girls as well. And the women in Smokey Joe's would come out and talk to them. And so it was really good. And I was sorry to have to stop it once we closed, because then I didn't have a venue. And then I had to, okay, now
it was built
how
into
am I going to work? Right.
Yeah.
How can I work? So, yeah.
Would you estimate that hundreds of kids came?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we had on Father's Day, we had a group of young boys come in and they wrote me letters, and I still have the letters of how they had no idea. You know, they were coming to see a woman's talk and all, but by the time they left, they felt better and they felt like spending their Father's Day there and seeing the show and meeting the guys in the show. Really made a difference in their life. So
I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the work garnered a few awards, including a Lena Horne Award.
Mm. Josephine Baker Award.
Oh, forgive
me.
Yeah,
that's okay. That's all right. Yes.
It's in my head. All wrong.
That's all right.
A Josephine Baker Award. One thing about theater, even though it's filled with extremely talented people, there's always a place for anyone in. If you want to join a sports team, you do have to have a certain amount of physical talent to do it. But there is a place if you want to be a part of theater.
Yeah.
There's a place for you with any physical issues you have. You can still find some
absolutely.
A part. And it turns into more than, you know, tiers of people. It turns into more of a family of people.
A community, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's so funny, I was talking with the kids, and we were saying how with everything that's going on right now, we still feel so special being theater people, because we're still kind of cushioned from all the negative stuff that goes on. Yes, you have your own negativity in theater of, okay, what kind of voice do I have? What kind of are they going to like me? Are they going to, you know, am I going to get this job? But I think we're special people. We're still special people on this earth, because we tend to see the glass half full as opposed to half empty, no matter what, you know? So we were talking about that the other day too. And it's a community. No matter where you go, the theater community will accept you and embrace you, you know?
Well, what you're doing is so human. It goes back to our, you know, times when we lived in caves. Stories are bigger than us.
Yeah.
They bring us together.
Absolutely.
And to be able to perform them and sometimes transform yourself, it's hard to put into words how special that is.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I still get like I'm now on the Tony nominating committee. Are in you? New York, so I get to see all the new shows that come out. And I still get such a thrill when the house goes to half and the show is getting ready to start. It's like, oh my God. You know, and coming up, I couldn't really afford to see a lot of the shows. And a lot of times I was working so much that the last thing I wanted to do was sit in a theater after working 8 shows a week.
It's one of those ironic things.
It really is. So now when I get my email, okay, you have your tickets to see King Kong. You have your tickets to see Cher, which I'm going to see when I go home. I'm so excited. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to the theater.
It's almost a full circle. You
it
know?
Is.
You're like, here's
it
why.
Is.
It was.
You find out who your friends are too, because they're like, so I hear you got tickets to see.
My guest is Brenda Braxton, who will appear in Next Stop Broadway tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. at the Williams Theater on Western's campus. And tickets are available at 387-6222 and online at WMUtheater.com. Brenda Braxton, has given us a few hints mm-hmm. about the show. we'll be learning a lot more about mm-hmm. what shaped you and this determined 12-year-old.
You can't get over that.
I can't. Who didn't mention to her parents that she was going to audition for this mm-hmm. school. Could we touch on, mm-hmm. This is one of my best chances being to ask you about being a woman of color, a mm-hmm. minority, and what Broadway has done or not done mm-hmm. To accept more people of diverse backgrounds mm-hmm. and tell their stories. Have you seen movement that you think is a good thing? What kind of work is there still to do? Mm-hmm. Just from your experience, I know you're not a social scientist, mm-hmm. but what can you tell us?
Well, from the time I started, yes, I have seen movement. I wish it could have been a little more. When I was coming up, I often talk about, even when I got my first Broadway show, yes, it was an all African-American company of Guys and Dolls. With Robert Guillaume and a couple of other people, yeah. But once I left there, I realized still how much work needed to be done. Even little things like costumers being prepared for people of color, where you didn't have stockings, you didn't have, they often wanted flesh-colored shoes, but they wouldn't have brown shoes. Little things like that when I first started out, which of course now it might have felt like a little thing then, but it was pretty big. Now it's more natural that, okay, they're prepared for people of color and that there are different colors of people of color. You know, so things are changing. And I was so happy to do Chicago the Musical too as Velma Kelly, because Velma Kelly was not necessarily an African-American woman, but the producers and the director were like, nope, let's open this up. So they've had a Latina, they've had, you know, an Asian. So there, progress is being made, but there still aren't enough new shows for people of color to come into. And the traditional older shows can be kind of, you really would not put a person of color in this role, you know? So there's still work to do as far as bringing in new pieces. Like Lin-Manuel, what he has done mm-hmm. is amazing. Yeah. Just amazing, because he has included everyone.
He's moved the needle for sure.
He has pushed that needle. Oh, yeah. So if more performers and more actors started writing, more producers started taking more risks, and also not plugging in stars. There was a time when Broadway would make a star. They would make you a star. Now they're only interested in, okay, who can we bring in that's going to bring in the money for this short amount of time, and we can make money, and you know what I mean? So more people of color, anyone who has come through the ranks of Broadway, it's hard for us because they want that star. You know, whether you're African-American, Latino, or even Caucasian now, because they're just plugging in stars. So I'm hoping that they'll start taking a chance again with new shows, not having to plug in a star and really making a star. Like I did Dreamgirls on Broadway, and to watch Jennifer Holliday come up from this 19-year-old who just was out of the church and become a mega star. You know, that's what Broadway should still be. Mm. So my fingers are crossed that, yes, it will be more diverse. Lin-Manuel, come on with some more stuff. Some other Lin-Manuels, come on, and you know. So, I'm hoping
there are a lot of really good programs even for arts administrators mm-hmm. and playwrights.
Absolutely.
That organizations are starting to invest in specifically managers and playwrights mm-hmm. and people from different fields of theater.
To bring
people of color in
yeah.
particular, mm-hmm. you know, people of diverse backgrounds for that purpose.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
we just don't have it in place. So there's some really great programs out there too.
And it's unfortunate too, when I was coming up, there were all these workshops happening, and you would get a percentage of the workshop if you came in and you literally developed that character, and they're cutting that kind of stuff out too. So you can't even afford to really do workshop, spend the time doing all this whole workshop, six-week, four-week workshop, and then not get any reward for it, not even that you would be assured a place in the show, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's hard too, because they've cut out so many programs like that as well.
I've asked a lot of Brenda Braxton and Emily Duquet this hour as they literally sat down and had to start talking. So why don't we wrap it up with another song from Smokey Joe's?
Can I just mention also in what I'm trying to make sure that these young kids know what's going on, I wrote a book called The Little Black Book of Backstage Etiquette. And it kind of gives you all of the ins and outs of what happens once you get your first show. How to respect, you know, respect the costumers, respect the stage managers, the prop master, and all of that. So if it's on Amazon.com, by Brenda Braxton, The Little Black Book of Backstage Etiquette.
Many of us around the country could use
necessary information.
Yes. Yeah,
for sure. Well, whatever you set your mind to, looks like that dream's going to come true. So, thank you for
having me. Thank you. Yes,
it's been a wonderful pleasure to see you here on WMUK, and you too, Emily Duguay.
Thanks for having us.
And hope you have a terrific run this weekend at the Williams Theater, 7:30 p.m. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Tickets still available for Friday and Saturday through WMUtheater.com. I'm a Woman. This is the song that we'll listen to. And we're going back once again to the Smokey Joe Cafe cast album.
Yes.
Let's hear Brenda once more.
Wash out 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging on the line. I can starch and iron 24 shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw it in the skillet, go out and do my shopping and be back before it melts in the pan.